always has Sarah Dillon written all over it, doesn't it?
That's why I picked it, just for Sarah Dillon.
Yes. Attention, Sarah Dillon. This is, let's see, fall TV preview. Let's see. Reality TV. Oh, this is, okay, this is by Kyle Buchanan. This is coming up on, what is this, on Bravo, on Logo?
Logo.
So Logo. Mm-hmm. Jacob and Joshua, Nemesis Rising, premiering October 16th. Oh, you don't get the Logo channel, though, do you?
No, but you do.
Yes, I do.
And you could just go ahead and burn it for me.
Yes, I do. You know why? Because the other day it gave me sweet, sweet Kate Winslet. Yep. They're rolling around in the New Zealand wilderness. Anyway.
God, you are just creepy today. I hope today is the one show that Laura will probably be able to listen
probably
to.
Probably from inhaling all that smoke.
Serious?
Out on the night on the town.
Serious? Would you like to listen to my husband's radio show? No, she lies to people. She says I'm an accountant. That's the backstory we've...
That's awesome.
No, like, you know, like, you ever, like, there are a couple... I know a couple who met online, actually, and they created, like, a whole fictitious, like, alternate story about how they met because they didn't want to be like... Yeah,
Aaron and Jen?
What?
Aaron and Jen?
No. They met at a listener party.
They did?
Yeah. Didn't you know that?
No.
Or, wait, I think that's the deal. Well, I forget. Because I think it was the worst listener party ever. It was the Richard Cheese one. Not bad because of him, but, you know, that night in La Center. But they met there, because I know she was there, and I know he was there, and I'm pretty sure that's where they met, and then blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so that's a cool story. No. I do know a couple, though, that met online, and then they totally created some whole, we were at a Starbucks, and our eyes met across the latte, you know, just some less of whatever. Anyway, no, so it's people are like, so, Laura, what does your husband do? She's like, he's an accountant. Just so, like, we wanted to pick, like, the least, no offense to the accountants, but the least interesting. You know, what career could your husband have that, like, invites no follow-up questions? Or, like, well, how can I see him do his job?
Insurance agent.
Yeah, exactly. Because nobody's going to be like, can I go and watch him do that for a while? Which, of course, is this job. You know, what's he do? He's on the radio. Oh, what station?
Can I look at him through a window somewhere?
Do you actually talk on the air?
Yeah, and then it's a lot of, like, what station? And, you know, so she learned early on not to do that. Anyway, so, yes, creepy, creepy. No, I'm just saying... Kate Winslet.
I think I might have read a little bit through the page. Please do tell. I mean, the rest of the TV
The best
show.
Thing about that, Kate, about Heavenly Creatures 2 is there's that sequence where they're making out. Anyway, Jacob and Joshua, Nemesis Rising, premiering October 16th on the Logo channel, gives us two for the price of one. Jacob and Joshua Miller are... Attention, Sarah Dillon. Let's see, who else? There's probably any number of people who
Byron.
By attention, Byron. And Kara. Are gay identical twins attempting to establish a pop rock band.
Oh.
Nemesis.
Oh, because I saw Band of Brothers. I'm like, why would I be interested in a war show?
No. Gay identical twins attempting to establish a pop rock band. That has you written all over it in like 500 different ways. Though many reality series...
This is a reality show.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Though many reality series... No, it is not a letter to Penthouse Forum. Though many reality series struggle to manufacture conflict, the Miller brothers come at it naturally. Wait, this is so great. Listen to this. Blonde-haired Jacob is driven, focused, and devoted to his longtime boyfriend, while brunette Joshua is laid back, aggressively single, and skeptical of Jacob's determination to position the band as openly gay. So there you go. There are no
Please.
Photos. There are no photos, by the way.
Please keep it for me.
I'm sorry.
What's it called?
It's called Nemesis. Oh, I'm sorry. Jacob and Joshua. I dig that name, too, because it's got like a biblical kind of feel to it.
It sounds like something on Nickelodeon.
It really, really does.
The new Disney. That's going to be very
It'll be
confusing.
On the gay Nick off. There'll be like some, Nick offshoot for the gay youth soon. And this will be the flagship show. Jacob and Joshua, Nemesis Rising. Nemesis Rising is stupid. They should just call it Jacob and Joshua. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, the real reason you are here today, Tim.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Never how I'm doing.
Well, the death of former Playboy playmate Anna Nicole Smith's son in the Bahamas was not due to natural causes. That's according to Her Majesty's coroner, Linda P. Vigil. Don't ask me what she's doing in the Bahamas. Who tells People magazine that the actual cause of death will not be announced at least until Friday. Forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Baden said the coroner already knows more than she is telling the press.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Oh, wait, is there sound on this?
It is, yes.
Baden, okay, here we go.
Sounds like they started doing CPR when it was too late, because if they called the hospital personnel right away, should have been able to be dealt with successfully. It sounds like if another person was there and if Anna Nicole Smith was asleep, that they didn't call for help in a timely manner.
This is also confusing, and I'll let you, we'll do this whole story.
It's unpleasant. Have you heard all the details?
No, but I'm hoping that they're all contained in this story.
It's gross.
Okay, so let's...
Dr. Baden says Daniel may have been experiencing withdrawals from drugs.
That the only criminal thing would be if somebody brought him an illegal drug, cocaine or something. And this would be the time, if he came from the U.S., and if he were taking drugs, he might be going through withdrawal or something.
You can't. Can you die? You can't die from cocaine withdrawal. I asked the room. as though we all know.
Well, I heard that he was, like, on antidepressants or...
They are confirming that there was definitely a third person in the room at the time of the death.
But they won't say who it was.
No.
Okay.
They are unwilling to reveal this information at this time for various reasons.
Weird.
It's also exciting. I'm going to pull up a chair. So let's talk about this.
She's had roles in her movies Skyscraper and To the Limit. He also appeared several times on the E-reality series and a Nicole Show.
Skyscraper to the Limit. I've seen both of those movies, by the way, and they're just terrible. To no one's surprise. I mean, they make that Tonya Harding, was that Tonya Harding movie, Fire on Ice or whatever. They make it look really just like the third man.
Hubcaps are flying.
Yeah. It looks like Touch of Evil compared to these Anna Nicole Smith films. So they were all in the Bahamas. So Anna Nicole Smith was in the Bahamas in a hospital because she was having a baby?
Yes.
So she's in
she
the hospital
3 days earlier.
Okay, but she's still in the hospital room. He is there for whatever reason visiting her. So they find the son, who's 20, dead in her hospital room while she is asleep. Right? Have I got that right so far?
I guess she was, and then she was awoken to
gurgling sounds.
Yeah, I guess
I was just kidding.
I guess he was like projectile vomiting. Like it was a bad scene. I'm not even gonna go into what it's just gross.
Oh no, come on, go into it.
It's like vomiting blood and stuff all over the room.
Oh no. Oh god, that's horrible.
Yeah.
That sounds like a little bit more than maybe just some withdrawal. But the weird thing is, okay, see, this is the thing I was talking about where they said that there was a third person.
A third person.
They're verifying that there was a third person in the room, but they will not identify who the third person was, quote, for various reasons. So you
got to think... Was it her lawyer? Was it Howard K. Stern?
Or maybe a minor? A third person in the room where they will not identify, quote, for various reasons. Maybe it's a minor. Mm-hmm. So is he there with some underage girl? Is, you know what I mean?
Huh.
Is it's all very, and if he's vomiting blood, welcome to the lunch hour, by the way. We can just go back to more C-section talk. They said they found no drugs or drug paraphernalia.
That is correct.
So they don't find any drugs. They don't find any drug paraphernalia. I guess it could be withdrawal, but, and again, I am not a drug expert, but to the best of my knowledge, withdrawal from most drugs is bad, but will not kill you, with the exception, I believe, of heroin. And I have been told that heroin withdrawal, it can kill you if you are already in sort of precarious health. If you're already a little rickety in a physical sense, heroin withdrawal can kill you. And who knows? You know, maybe he was on that. I don't know. So... Anyway, and so there's just nothing. So they don't know anything else about it.
They do, but they're not saying.
Oh, so we don't know anything else about it. Man, there's going to be some weirdness coming out. That's one big ball of twine. And I have to wonder. Speaking of weirdness, by the way, she does not even look like herself anymore. And I don't mean like when they say like, oh, you don't look like yourself. What they mean is that you just look out of sorts. I don't mean that. I don't mean it figuratively. Quite literally, she does not look like herself anymore. She's had not just some liposuction, not just some weight. She's had a full like a full remake of herself done. She does not in any way look like Anna Nicole Smith. In fact, I think if I had just sort of glanced at the picture of her and not taken a long look, or if I hadn't seen the headline, I don't think I would have known it was her. She did not look like the Anna Nicole Smith that we all kind of know and love. So yeah, it's the most bizarre story. All right, so there you go.
Well, those butter-fingered astronauts are losing more nuts and bolts on the second spacewalk. What they had to do... See, these bolts temporarily were holding in place a rotating structure of new solar arrays.
Well, I'm sure
now that it's been installed, the astronauts had to remove the bolts so it could turn and constantly track the sun and collect energy. However, just like what happened the other day, they lost another bolt in outer space.
A bolt is missing. Bolt one alpha.
Oh.
I did not see it go.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. That's terrible, but... I mean...
A bolt is missing. Bolt one alpha. I did not see it go.
Look, I don't mean to boil things down to a ridiculous extreme.
I think they were haphazardly trained.
I'm suspecting, yeah, that maybe...
It's almost like they sent Russians to do the job, but these are Americans.
They are trying to emulate our Russian friends. Just an idea. Have somebody watch the bolts, maybe. Especially because this isn't the first time. This is the second time... This is the second time, this with the sentence sounds so absurd. This is the second time this week you've lost important parts from the space station. Now look, if it happens again, there's going to be a timeout for everybody. So, maybe just have somebody watching that
stuff. Luckily, it's the Russians that spend most of their time up there.
Sure, well, I guess it's true. And
they're easy to replace. they're probably better fed up there. They can send anyone up there. They'd be much happier than they would be in Russia.
I was just going to say, as long as we promise them some toilet paper that's not all splintery, then fine. It's just, look, I got to tell you this. The other day, what the hell was I doing? I was fixing the little plastic panel that goes over your electrical outlet in the wall where you plug in like your...
That's only one screw.
Whatever, that's what I'm saying. And I very carefully set it aside so I wouldn't lose it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll put the panel right here. I'll put the screw right here. Here's the screwdriver. I put them all right there, and I made sure that the door was shut and the dog was out of the room so that nothing would get mussed. And that's just like a panel in my office at home in Southeast Portland. This is a space station. Maybe just some string. You know, just tie it around there. Keep it from just floating away.
A bolt is missing.
It's fantastic. All right. Well, there you go. Have fun with that. What are we doing here? This is Timothy, who's got overdose information for us. Hello, sir. Timothy.
Rick, hi. Timothy. I'm not MD, but having gone through Hooper Detox too many times, I got a little info for you. Heroin detox, if your blood pressure goes too low, you can pass out and die that way. But cocaine withdrawal, not life-threatening. Benzos, on the other hand, Xanax, stuff like that, you can definitely die from. Or alcohol is a lot deadlier than you think.
And so this is, so you have gone through rehab many times?
Oh, yeah.
For which, if I can ask, substances?
Well, what have you got?
So really,
basically heroin and opiates.
And opiates are sedatives?
Sedatives, methadone, narcotics, like heroin, pills, stuff like that.
Now, let me ask you a question, because I don't really know a whole lot about the drugs. I'm waiting until I'm older to do them. And
it's good yet.
No, I've talked about this. It sounds like a gag, but this is my plan that I've always said when I am like 70. I'm just going to, by that point, you've done or not done whatever you're going to do or not do. So when I'm 70, I'm going to begin taking all kinds of drugs. And I'm just going to, and I'll start with something small, like a pill, whatever, ramp myself. So just as I'm getting ready to die naturally, I'll be like a full-on heroin user. Because I figure, well, seriously, what have you got to lose at that point? And I mean, what are they going to do? Some 85-year-old guy.
Talking to my grandfather, by the time you're 70, you're going to be taking out a lot of that stuff anyway.
That's what I'm saying. And it's like, what are they going to do? Give you house arrest? I mean, stay at home. Fine. Put on some jazz.
Sounds like you should be preventative and start going to a 12-step meeting, Rick.
Well, why do you think, and look, and I know that there are many people in this world who, let me just put it this way. If I had a nickel for every person who believes or in the past has accused me of having a chemical problem, I would be able to afford to have a chemical problem. Regrettably, I'm just a little overwired naturally, and that's sort of worked out the way it's worked out. But anyway, let me ask you this. Because I don't know a lot about drugs, I know this sounds like a dumb question, but what is methadone? I mean, I know what it's for. I know it's to wean you off. But what is it?
It was made by the Nazis in the 40s or the 30s.
Like all good substances.
because they couldn't afford the opiates and the heroin to give their morphine to their soldiers. It's a synthetic heroin, and you don't want to be on it, Rick.
Now, why?
From experience.
Well, don't. No, look, I'm not saying I want to be on it, but I'm saying.
Well, it's like marching to Poland with one leg and take some of this stuff.
Seriously. Well, no, I was only half kidding when I said all good substances come from the Nazis. They weren't really good at the social integration or the rights or the logic or the whatever, the treating people well. They were really good at creating drugs, though, from what I hear. My question is this. If you are on heroin, and I'm not trying to make light of any of this, but if you are on heroin, methadone is synthetic heroin, sort of like Marinol is synthetic pot then. And so what is the advantage to giving you synthetic heroin?
When you're taking the synthetic heroin, it fills your receptors. So if you're taking heroin, you don't even feel it. So it's a good narcotic to get you off of using the street drugs. But it puts you in the seat of the man where you got to get up at 6 a.m. every morning and take your dose.
Well, that's my thing. So what happens if you don't get your methadone?
You go through some serious sickness where you wish you were dead.
And does the government, is the plan then that they give you methadone and then they gradually step it down until
you're... You would think so. When I got into a car accident and had some life experiences where I didn't want to be on drugs anymore, and I was on 70 milligrams of methadone, I asked them to administratively detox me, which means taking me down 5 milligrams per day. And I started getting sick to my stomach every morning to a point where I couldn't digest what they were giving me. They said either go back to 90 milligrams or there's the door.
Weird.
I took the door and detoxed myself.
And you just took cold turkey to it?
I cold turkeyed it. The state does not help you get off the stuff.
Especially
if you don't have money.
Final question, because I don't mean to need to dwell, but it's, you know.
Dwell on.
Just stuff I'm curious about. This is a question that I've always wanted to ask people who have had experience with heroin. And again, I'm not trying to make light of it or say that you're I'm not trying to insult you, insult you or anything, but I'm just saying, like, why? Like, where were you at your life where, like, a guy was like, hey, I got this heroin, do you want it? And it's like, you can, you know, you pick one of the roads.
Honestly, Rick, you know, it started when I was probably 5 years old and I was eating a gallon of ice cream instead of one scoop. We're addicts. It's a disease. And it progresses. And after a while, the pot doesn't work and you progress to stronger drugs. It's as simple as that, man. It's a total disease.
And so how long are you, I mean, presumably you're clean now?
I've got 15 months, but I'm going to a meeting right now.
Cool. Well, congratulations. We'll stay clean, my friend.
You have a great day, Rick.
All right, there you go. Thank you. All right. Fantastic. All right, 503-733-2. And see, no, and again, no disrespect to that guy, but that's why... whenever I've had those opportunities in my life, I just sort of, I just say no. And
I'm just waiting until I'm 70.
That's what I'm saying. It is very, I'm really, as trite as that sounds, it is true that I, quote, just say no because I know me. And I can, like, in my head, whenever those opportunities arise to just to take a drug, I can look straight, and I'm not saying this is true. I know people who can do drugs recreationally. I really do, and we probably all do. People who can do a line of this or a snort of that or whatever, and then they're just fine. You know, I had a, I don't really know her much anymore, but a girl that I used to know, who really honestly, and I'm not saying you should do this, would just do cocaine recreationally. Like if it was around, she'd do it. And
like a tennis game.
Yeah, seriously. It's like, well, did you ever do this? Like, do you want a beer? Well, if you've got one cold, I'll drink it. If not, you know, whatever. You know, whereas other people are like Jack Lemmon. You know, they're out in the backyard drinking the Stetson. And she would totally, you know, she'd be like, if a guy had it around, she'd do it. But if not, you know, whatever. I wouldn't be like that. Like, they would say, do you want it? I'd be like, yes. And then you could immediately see the through line to where I'm in a gutter, like, soiling myself with no teeth and, like, covered in roaches, you know? That's your image for today in the lunch hour, by the way.
Yeah, the vomiting blood just wasn't enough.
Well, I should have asked him what causes you to vomit blood. Please don't call back and tell me.
Well, I found a story.
Is it unpleasant?
It's really unpleasant.
Well, why don't we survey it during the break here and see what we're going to say on the other side. All right. Hey, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is a Rick Emerson show. You stay right there. Back with more of Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Here's Cheap Trick. Don't go anywhere. Okay. Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. Kim Riley handed this to me. Coming to the Theater of the Clouds at the Rose Garden. October 24th. Al Gore. A live presence from the Willamette. A live presentation and discussion about the most critical issue of our times. As seen in the film and book. So this is his, he's bringing his global warming thing. His hit global warming show comes to Portland. And there's a picture of him standing in front of a huge thing. Whatever it is. What is this? This thing he's standing. Is that a hole in the ozone? Whatever. He's standing in front of a thing.
It looks like a black hole.
Standing in front of a black hole.
It's just white.
I don't even know what we're talking about. This is clearly why we don't need to see him, because we have no goddamn idea what we're talking about. Anyway, so Al Gore is going to be here reminding you that he's going to be running for president in 2008. Whether he admits that or not, that's the purpose, by the way. So if you'd like to, and I think, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. We may be doing a little something with this. I'm not sure. I don't want to, maybe not. It might not happen. Anyway, so there you go. So, future presidential contender Al Gore will be coming to the Theater of Clouds October 24th. I guess tickets go on sale. Ticks, as they say, go on sale Monday. I never did see the movie, but I feel like, well, see, maybe I don't need to now. I can do this.
It's okay.
Really? Well, yeah. Does it tell you anything you don't already know?
Yeah, it does.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not just a lot of shots of polar bears and whatever?
No. Right. You go there to be educated.
All right. I wonder if it'll be like that time I saw Stephen Hawking speak. And I know that sounds like I set up to a joke, but it's not. I saw Stephen Hawking do his presentation of the, what the hell is it, Brief History Time or whatever. When I was in Utah, this all does sound like a joke. But Stephen Hawking went on tour where, I know, it's, you're looking at me
and
like...
And you totally went to see him, right?
I did. Well, how can you, I mean, you know, and to me that's another one of those things like... How can you not? Mm-hmm. So you want to say, I saw Stephen Hawking. It's like talking to Dick Dale. You know, I'm not a huge Dick Dale fan, but I wanted to say I talked to him. I didn't get to speak to Stephen Hawking or talk to him. What are you really going to do anyway? But he came to the Delta Center, I think it was, which is in Utah. And seeing him speak, it really is kind of pointless. Because all he does, his speech effectively is just him pressing the start button on that talk box of his, and it's like, a long time ago, the universe was created. Since then, things have happened. Here is a black hole.
You sound like you're doing Brooke Burke as Stephen Hawking.
But as the nights went on, the vote changed. But it was just him laying in the chair, gazing blankly into space, while this automatic voice thing just spoke for like half an hour.
That's pretty cool.
And at the end, we all applauded. Here's the best part of the night, though. My friend Martin did meet him, though, and had his picture like crouched down, like giving the thumbs up, posed next to him. There's really no way to look like not like you're not a tool when you're posing with a guy in a wheelchair who has a muscle control. But the best part of the night, and then we'll get to Gary Baumgarten here, and then we've got Tim, and then we've got Eastman. Talked to our friend Noah, who we haven't talked to in a while. The best part of the night, though, was that it was being sponsored. It was like Stephen Hawking explains everything about quantum mechanics to you in physics. Is sponsored by blah 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 blah. You know, Chevrolet of Provo. And so the best part of the night was a cool. I'm liberating this screen, cool in the gang. It was a guy from a car dealership introducing Stephen Hawking as quote a pretty bright guy. There you go. That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show live from New York.
I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City. I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City.
Scotty was noting that my Stephen Hawking voice sounds a lot like my Cool in the Gang voice. A pretty bright guy himself, Gary Baumgarten. How are you, sir?
I would totally get my picture taken with Stephen Hawking.
I didn't get a chance to. I think I had to get back and do my show. I think it was on the air that day or something. But it was pretty cool just to sort of, you know, as dumb as it sounds. I think it's a human thing, actually, people can say, well, what did you matter? But, you know, you're in the same room as whatever. I think there is a human thing to being in the same room as another person who you recognize has had such a huge impact on the world. It's like, you know what it
genius.
Is?
You're with genius. You're with the guy's a genius.
Totally. And you're within a few feet of him. And it's a dumb analogy, but it's like at home, I have a guitar pick that was used by Gene Simmons at one of the big Kiss concerts kind of back in the day. And you know what? People are like, well, what is that? It is like a weird sort of I don't know, primal, sort of almost like a tribal thing. We're very into artifacts and, you know, and being in the presence of people who we know have had some sort of power around, you know, on about, you know, in terms of affecting the world. It is a cool thing. Anyway, so.
By the way, Al Gore.
Yeah.
Gives a tremendous presentation on global warming.
Now, have you seen this presentation that he's on tour with?
I saw the first one here in New York City, and it happened to be on the coldest day of the year, which everybody was laughing about.
That's funny.
But it's just phenomenal. It's not the same guy at all who was running for president.
Well, you know what
this board is gone.
It's like so many of those, you know what it is, when once you stop, as many therapists over the years have told many women on many bad call-in sex advice shows, you just got to relax and quit worrying about it. Then it'll happen naturally. That's what it is with Al Gore. He just sort of was like, well, what can you do? And he just sort of let it go and quit worrying about it. You can tell the pressure is off, the stress is off. And I read a great book, actually, about the Clinton presidency where they noted that Gore, before he got elected to vice presidency, he was a great speaker, was very warm, very personable. As soon as he got into office, just became stiff and pointless. And then once he was a citizen again after having, quote, lost the election to George W. Bush, that he was fine again. It was just when he was in office that he was completely uninteresting.
Yep.
So,
he was totally disinteresting. You're absolutely right.
But I have heard great things about the movie, and I'll absolutely go see him simply because, I don't really care about the environment all that much for a whole lot of reasons that I won't bore everybody with. But I do, for me, it's just because I want to see this newly transformed Al Gore that everybody keeps talking about, and especially because this is so clearly some sort of a warm-up for a 2008 run. I mean, the writing seems to be on the wall right there.
And since you're such a political junkie, how could you not go?
That's what I'm saying. We'll see. But here's the thing. Everybody obviously sees this as, you know, him revving up the car to run in 08, which brings us to the New York primary, where Hillary Clinton won the Democratic primary in New York. And I mean, everybody knows that's bringing her one step closer to a presidential run. And so is this like the immovable object and the irresistible force?
Yeah, well, you know, it was such an assured thing for her. And it was, as you say, really just a tune-up for a run for the White House. That she was in Washington last night when the returns came in.
She didn't even care. That's, she just knew it. And so.
Yeah, she just knew it.
But the thing is, though. So then what if it comes, I mean, what if you got Hillary who's on track for running for the presidency, and you got Al Gore who's clearly on track for running for the presidency, and I mean, I don't even know how that's going to resolve itself. How is that even going to shake itself out?
Well, I think it's going to, the party regulars will sort it out and spoon feed to
the
electorate.
Can you imagine like an Al Gore Hillary Clinton ticket? I mean,
it wouldn't happen. I don't think she'd run as a vice president.
Man, probably not, because then it puts off the presidential run for like another 8 years. And it's going to be really interesting to see how that all shakes out. It's just one big weird merry-go-round. You know, it's like a bit musical chairs there with the Democratic
Party. You know, that is kind of funny, because we had a Clinton-Gore administration, and that would be a Gore-Clinton administration.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. How great. And especially because, you know, Bill Clinton is going to, you know, he'll be along for the ride. So
he's got a greater star power than
she does. Oh man, the whole thing just makes me tingly. It really does. All right. Speaking of musical chairs, so we have been following the fortunes of Katie Couric on this program, because over the last, I don't know, whatever it is, 3-4 weeks, it really, like every 5 minutes on this station and all the CBS stations, there was a whole the countdown to Katie Couric 5 days, and then we had a big elaborate event of her first night on the air, and that sort of seems to have that buzz season sort of seems to have gone away. But now so let me get this right. So now Katie Couric is now the CBS News replacing Bob Schieffer, who was replacing Dan Rather, and now Meredith Vieira from The View is replacing Katie Couric. Is that right?
Right.
It's all so confusing. I don't know anybody who watches the Today Show, but I mean, is the Today Show still, is that still a powerhouse? Because I know it was at one time.
Very much so. Very much so a powerhouse, and more so than the evening news. So one could say that her career move is a greater move than perhaps even Katie Couric. Yeah. Can I say this on the station owned by CBS?
Well, and I got to tell you, here's the thing about the Today Show, from the best of my, I mean, and I haven't really been a watcher of that show in a while, but it does seem like the Today Show has more of a secure niche than the CBS Evening News does, in that the CBS Evening News, and evening news in general, I should say this, network evening news, in many ways, doesn't really give you a whole lot that you can't. I mean, look, it's very telling that the CBS News, all the way through it, they pimp CBSNews.com, where right. you can get things 24 hours a day. The Today Show, though, largely because it's just puff pieces, they're a little more insulated from that because it's very feature-heavy, which is a thing you can't just get online at the drop of a hat.
Right. Now, I think people like that demeanor in the morning still. Mm. And as so long as the Absolutely. Hosts get along very well, and certainly she and Matt Lauer do, you know, it, I think people are going to flock continually to the Today Show. I think it's still going to rule.
Here's going to be...
You know what's really interesting, Rick? Our day is over. Our day, the good old boys network is gone because you got Katie Couric at the top at CBS. You get Diane Sawyer at Good Morning America, the top paid person on poll over at ABC.
Yeah.
And now you got Meredith Vieira over at the Today Show garnering all this attention. It used to be that you had to be a guy to get ahead. The women were on the outside looking in. Now I think things are starting to change a little bit.
The problem here was women's suffrage. That's really where everything started to go wrong in this country, Gary. We can all admit that. Now, the thing is, the best part about the Meredith Vieira going to the Today Show, if you listen really carefully, you'll be able to hear Star Jones somewhere angrily throwing empty bottles at her television.
Right. She's the one person who is aced out in all the...
Yes.
Shuffling around in the musical chairs, and one's got to wonder, where is she going to turn up next?
No, it's true. It really is enough to make me, it makes me believe in the essential goodness of the world, almost. The idea that Star Jones is somewhere out there having to, like, pick up cans to pay the rent. That actually makes me happy. So Meredith, and is that today that Meredith Vieira started?
Yeah.
All right.
And, well, you know, she has a much easier path ahead of her than Katie Couric did, in my opinion, because Katie Couric was recognized for her work on the Today Show,
sure.
but not recognized for her work as a journalist. Meredith Vieira has solid journalistic credentials that she took with her before she went to The View, and at The View she got that softer,
it's true,
touchy-feely that fits in well at the Today Show. So, I mean, she got made in the shade. And the nice thing about her is, you never know what's going to come out of her mouth.
No, and she doesn't seem, I don't know, Katie Couric has a weird veneer on her that Meredith Vieira doesn't have. You're right, Meredith Vieira does have there's a little unpredictability with her. So,
right, which I like.
I'm with you.
I think people are going to tune in just to see what the heck is she going to say today.
I am with you on that, my friend. All right, Gary Baumgarten in New York City, have a bagel for me, my friend. We will talk to you soon.
I will.
Thank you,
brother.
All right, thank you. There you go. Gary Baumgarten in New York City. These blintzes are stale. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley will be joining us in mere moments with more of the City Desk. Let's quickly get a couple of these calls. Tim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, brother?
I just wanted to make a quick comment about the last guy who called in. I don't want to be one of those guys, you know, called up and, you know, beats a dead horse or anything like that. But
and yet?
I'm just under the opinion that drug addiction and alcoholism is not a disease.
No, I know. I know.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying, no, you and I are in agreement on that. I didn't point it out with that guy because the guy was very cool, very gracious, and I didn't want to belabor that. He's obviously had a hard road of it, and I didn't want to...
And totally, and I think it was, you know, I really appreciated that he called in to share, you know, his knowledge and everything, because, you know, that's some hard stuff to go through.
No, we have said on this program repeatedly that a disease is not a thing that you go down to the corner to buy in a paper bag.
Or that you ever have a choice about, you know.
Yeah, you know, leukemia is a disease.
Yeah, lymphoma, lung cancer,
no,
things like that, you know.
I am with you on that, my friend.
Okay, and hey, like the show, and let's hear some more news.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you. Excellent segue. And there you go. We'll get Noah here in just a few. This is Tim Riley at the AM 970 News Desk.
A lawsuit has been filed against the federal government and a Vancouver-based marriage counseling center. Some Western Washington residents said in the suit that the center used federal money to promote a fundamentalist Christian agenda. It's been filed in U.S. District Court. On its website, the Marriage Institute quotes biblical verses, including one that urges wives to win over their husbands with a quiet spirit. It also says wives should serve their husbands and make them happy as a way of honoring God.
Well, that is true.
So, so stop by their website.
So if your wife has become uppity of late, it's sacred to... Where is this? It's in Vancouver?
Vancouver, yes.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. As, let's see, Tony Nakuva. Rick, it all started when we started letting them call us by our first name. That's when the long slide started. Damn women. Okay, there you go. No,
that was a little weird the way he was wording that.
The good old
boys are done, Rick.
The best part is how he included me in it, too. He's like, Rick, our day is done. Damn women,
yeah,
they're everywhere.
Really nailed you.
Yeah. Yes. It's helped me out so much. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, the premiere of the most controversial season of Survivor is about to hit the airways. It is cast into the four teams based on ethnicity. people who are different colors and looks. The four official groups who live in the United States, including African-Americans, Latino, whites, and Asians. The host of the program is Jeff Probst. He says one thing that stands out is that self-loathing white people don't have white pride as a group like other races do.
We notice there's so much ethnic pride that you don't hear from white people, because if you're white, you have to then go, okay, are you Irish or are you Italian? But as a group, there's not just white ethnic pride.
Yeah, and if you're screaming white power, that might be misconstrued.
Seriously, yes. And I wasn't going to point that out, but that does really seem to be the reason.
It's not really that you're Irish.
It's not a movement afoot, is it?
Yeah, it's not like a logistical difficulty, Jeff Probst. It's really that one doesn't wish to be carrying around a banner that says white power everywhere. That works out badly unless you're living in Spokane. So, yeah, let's all not do that. All right.
Well, let's talk about Meredith Vieira, who made television history, or so they want us to think so, in the opening hour of the program of the Today Show. We have her making her first mistake after being asked by co-host Matt Lauer to do a station break.
Are you ready to say it for the first time?
Yeah, I am.
All right, take it away.
We'll be back in a moment, but today, but first, this
Bam!
This is Today on NBC.
See, I feel bonded to her because she's human.
No,
see?
Put a woman in charge and look, she just messes it up.
That's what I'm saying. All right, here's Tim Riley.
She should be home making her husband happy.
You should be home cleaving to her husband. All right.
Doing the Lord's work. Like vacuuming and baking pies.
Taking Prozac. Get home and work on your feminine mystique. Do it now.
Going to the Mall of Vancouver.
Expanding.
Thinking about driving to Portland someday. As a reward for her good behavior.
There's a better life somewhere. Okay. I don't even know what we're doing. Oh, let's quickly. Hello, Noah. How are you doing, sir?
Rick, glad to hear you're back on the air.
Oh, Noah, the amazing East man. He came from the East.
Do battle with the amazing Rando.
Exactly. This is an old school-based call here for the people who remember Noah. Noah started listening in, like, 98, 99?
Well, yeah, it was 99, 2000. It was back in the days, as you call it, of Yahoo Broadcast.
Yeah, but wait, that's a long time ago, like 6-7 years ago. And
talk about how kids have gone through high school in the time I've been listening.
Well, now, how old were you when you started listening to the show?
I was a senior in college.
Okay, and then you are how old now?
28.
And Noah, you and I have gone through a whole lot together because you were there in the syndicated era. You were there in the unpleasantness.
I was there when I'd have to listen to you on CKTB over near Ontario to pick up the game, and they'd always be going to basketball or hockey, and I'd lose the feed.
CKTB, and then I knew it was NWGR in Buffalo as well.
That's right. They went all sports.
Okay, here's the weird thing, though, is that you used to listen to me on WGR in Buffalo. This, I'm sure everybody cares about this.
Yeah.
550.
I now, yeah. Well done,
Tim Riley.
Right. Well, I'm a radio geek. I know these things.
Okay.
Very good.
I now broadcast next door, and I mean literally like two feet away from this country station, KUPL, and the program director is a guy named John Paul, who was working, I believe, at WGR at that time. So it is a very small world. It's very strange.
From Portland to Portland, right, Rick?
Did I ever mention those nude photographs you sent me, that girl?
I've sent you a few over the time. Why? What'd you say about them?
I don't know. I'm just not sure if that was a thing I was ever... I forget how that even came about. We were doing some show, and it was years and years ago, and the subject of, like, somehow somebody had filmed somebody else, and it was...
I remember this show. You were talking about people's outrageous videos, and some guy in Buffalo, back in the days of GR, called in and said, I've got a videotape of my buddy videotaping another couple having sex in the car while we were driving.
Yeah, and then it led to, like, you taking a picture of some girl in your room and sending it in, and we have a long, tangled history with you as a caller, my friend.
We do, but I wanted to mention, you were talking about Stephen Hawking and his voice box.
Yes.
You ever catch the show Rescue Me?
Yeah, Dennis Leary, yeah.
Yeah, love the show. They were rescuing this poor guy who was in a wheelchair or in a motorized scooter with no voice box. They get in, the firemen are saying, check this out, it's really cool. He has to type so I can talk, and all of a sudden he says, get me out of here, and they all start laughing.
Okay, now that's funny. Also, there was a great episode of Futurama where...
Love the show.
A great episode of Futurama that featured the real voices of Stephen Hawking.
Al Gore.
Al Gore, Gary Gygax.
Michelle Nichols.
Okay, nerd. All right, that's
too.
Full on nerdy. All right, well, brother, it's always good to hear from you. You keep checking in from the East Coast. Let us know how it's being held down out there.
Hey, Rick, can I have a closing thought?
Yes.
I remember in the days of Yahoo Broadcast, between all these live feeds, we'd hear your voice saying, for having troubles with the feed, call so-and-so 212. And he'd also, we'd hear you yell 30 seconds, and you'd hear like the last beacon, we'd hear you go, hell yeah, and then the show would start again.
Yeah, I remember that. Yes.
Old school.
Oh, God.
Keep it real, Rick. Talk to you later.
All right, thank you, sir. There you go. That's Eastman, also known as Noah. Came from the East to do battle with the amazing Rando. It's a long story. I love Noah and those guys, but goddamn, I don't miss that show. All right, here's Tim Riley.
It's time for What's Happening at CBS.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me find the, with ladies and gentlemen, here's What's Happening at CBS today.
Well, Katie Couric's CBS Evening News morphs to mundane, ratings wane. That's the headline here. Katie and her new gig at CBS, as America's first leading news anchorwoman, is already in choppy waters as ratings fell flat on their face.
We're all going to be
just
fired.
Just 1 week.
Oh, great. Thanks, Katie.
Thank you.
She could care less.
Well, I'm sure she could get... She's got paper towels and forks.
Plus, I think she's had extensive dental work, so she doesn't even...
She's already taken advantage of her benefits package. The hell does she care? Good God.
The New York Daily News reporting that Couric's debut a week ago, well, it had curiosity seekers and lots of media hype, had the ratings pumped up to 13.6 million viewers. However, on a day that should have been a coup for Couric, the 9/11 Day of Memory, it dropped to half that with 7.49 million viewers. She averaged about 10.2 million viewers overall for the week. Sean McManus, the CBS News president...
Oh, wait, hold on. He said this is something like... Because I remember all these from the great Leno Letterman battle of whatever that was, like 90... God, how long ago was that? Was that 96, 97, whenever that happened? No, 93 it must have been, because that's when Carson left. Let's see, does he say something like...
I'm very encouraged.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
Or, it's too early to tell what these numbers really mean.
But not jumping to any conclusion with respect to what they will be a month ago. He said with a big happy smile.
Yeah. He said while preparing his resume and gathering his things into a box. All right, thank you, Katie. Appreciate that. All right, there you go.
Here's a great idea. Why not test non-lethal new weapons on U.S. citizens? That, according to the Air Force Secretary Michael Wayne.
Why not?
If we're not willing to use it here against our own fellow citizens, we should not be willing to use it in a wartime situation.
That seems fair enough.
If I hit somebody with a non-lethal weapon and claimed that injured him in a way it was not intended, I would be vilified in the world press.
Yes. Yes, you would. Yes,
so,
you would, sir.
Let's try these out on our fellow citizens to make sure we know what we're doing. The Air Force has funded research into non-lethal weapons, but said the service isn't likely to spend more money on development until personal injury issues are reviewed by medical experts.
Do they specify what these non-lethal weapons are?
Well, they can weaken people if they're hit with a laser beam. Some of the weapons can emit short, intense energy pulses that can disable some electronic devices, too.
They
burn
also
holes through your skin.
I was going to say, they have, and this is neither, we're not making this up, the LAPD has, and I don't think they've deployed it or whatever, you know, I don't think everybody has it yet. The LAPD has two really scary weapons in development, and they're both real. One of them is a thing that they can just point at your car. It's like a radar gun. They can just point at your car from 100 feet away, pull the trigger, bam, your car turns off, won't start again, which is creepy.
That's going to destroy the ratings on LA's Evening News. Yep. Because all these car chases start at 4, end at 6.
It's a TSL
enough for
builder.
A tank of gas.
Yeah, no, it really is.
Enough to drive around with LA for a tank of gas.
As many quarter hours as possible. Just, yeah.
That's not going to happen.
No, but the second thing is, they have this microwave gun that heats your, you know, remember we talked about stuff that'll eat your bones? This heats your skin. Not eats, but heats. And the thing is, the creepy thing about it is that it doesn't burn your skin, they claim. It claims that it leaves no they said it's the weirdest sensation. That it doesn't burn your skin or leave any permanent damage. It just heat your skin to the point where it feels like it's, quote, in flames. And it's just a gun that you can point at somebody from across the room. I would give almost anything to be able to test such a gun. Speaking of which, did I ever read you this email?
That'd be a great listener party.
It really, well, speaking of which, Jim, listen to this. This is from Shay. Rick, my brother would love to come on your show and be tased. I would like to be pepper sprayed. If you can arrange the tasing and someone to unleash the pepper spray, and then he says in parentheses, by the way, we have access to law enforcement strength pepper spray. So they'll bring their own spray. We will come out and do it on the air for everyone's amusement. Now, hey, that was an email. Now, here's what I emailed back. I emailed back and I said, really? Question mark, dot, 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 clown hat, curly face. And then he emails back, yes, I am totally, keep in mind, this email wasn't, it wasn't like we were asking for people to be tased. This just came, his own volition, apropos of nothing, as my friend Martin would say. He says, yes, I am totally and completely serious. I just double-checked with my brother. He's still down. He only has one concern. He's not much of a talker, so he doesn't want to have to... but he's a screamer as soon as we tase him. So he doesn't want to have to talk much on the air. I have to schedule a day off to come to the station, so it isn't something I can do on a day's notice. I'd prefer if we could do this on a Monday or a Friday, but that's not a requirement. So these brothers, and I don't really know, I don't know if they're gay identical twin brothers, but these brothers are just emailed me out of the blue asking if they can come on the show and be tased and pepper sprayed. So attention, Susan Reynolds, CBS Radio Portland marketing guru. Let me know.
How about if they did it for like Toys for Tots?
Tase for Tots? Yeah. Hey, that's a great idea.
I liked it.
I would give, it's like one of those hideous things that everyone...
There's the big Christmas promotion.
Okay, hold on, I'm writing that down. Tasing for Tots. Tasing. Not tasing tots,
some
by the
afternoon
way.
FM show will steal that this afternoon at some point. So we better act on it quickly.
I don't know who you're talking about, Tim. I can't imagine who you might be referring to. Maybe they can tase somebody. Never mind. Never mind. I'm reeling that one back in. All right, there you go. Tasing for Tots. That's the big AM 970 Christmas push coming up in December. Here's Tim Riley at the city desk.
Time for Penis Watch.
Here's your Penis Watch.
Take
for
a look at my
Wednesday.
Enormous penis. And my troubles start a melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Maybe we can just start dropping off a box of Xerox paper over there, you know? Here's your show prep.
This comes to us from Montreal. Usually Canadians are peaceful, but not on this account. Sentencing arguments will begin in November for a woman who was following in the footsteps of Lorena Bobbin. Those are big shoes to fill. The Virginia woman who gained infamy in 1993 for slicing off her husband's penis. Andrea Renee's weapon of choice was fondue fuel. Following an argument on April 2001, the woman set her boyfriend's penis on fire as he slept.
With fondue fuel. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of a stylish fire, at least.
Mm-hmm. The 53-year-old man suffered third-degree burns to the pelvic region and on his chest. He spent a month in the hospital. Renee was found guilty of aggravated assault last year. Sentencing arguments begin November 21st.
Did she decorate his pelvis with small croutons first?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's not clear why so much time has elapsed between conviction and sentencing. The minimum sentence is 14 years. An attorney says he will ask for jail term, but wouldn't elaborate on how many years in prison he will seek. Renee remains free on bail until sentencing.
That's 5 years old. Canada's not a very efficient country. They're very lackadaisical in some ways. There's your penis watch for...
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start a-melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going
this
my
is the
way.
Best. The best thing, I really wish we could have a webcam so you could just watch Scotty's comments as they come across the screen over here. He just types in all caps, I would tase them, no problem. And then right below that, he types in, Sarah can mace them relentlessly. What a strange thing to type. Why would you suggest that Sarah would tase them, quote, relentlessly? It's like one of those weird videos you see online where it's some chick with big cans and high heels stepping on mice or something. You know what I mean? We could film that, actually. It would put you in some stilettos and just have you tase a guy. I bet there's dudes out there that would pay $100 for that. They're asking for it, Scotty. They really are asking for it. That's the thing, is it's not figurative. My brother and I would love to come on your show and be tased. Oh, I'm sorry. My brother would love to be tased. I would like to be pepper sprayed. Maybe this is some sort
strange.
Of a... Maybe this is some... And he says, besides, the tots need toys. No, it really is true. It's like one of those charity things we had to... Well, you went to a Catholic school, but it was a prep school.
Yeah.
So it was not underfunded the way mine was. You could afford the crest in the dining hall where the candles floated in the air. I went to a Catholic school, but it was always really... we were just so poor. And at the Catholics, not me, my family, but I mean the school was
very
poor.
There's a Catholic school in Kennewick?
There's a Catholic school in Kennewick. But, this is not trying to make light of this, but a large, not the bulk, but a huge number of kids who went to the Catholic school were Mexican. And many of the parents not legal citizens. So there were a lot of kids that I went to a school with a lot of, I would say the school was probably... The school population, the student population was probably 40% Mexican, and I would say that of those kids that I went to school with, a great number of their parents were not legal citizens, because there's a huge immigrant population, illegal immigrant population in the Tri-Cities, because there's a lot of agricultural work there, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so the point is, a lot of the kids came from families that didn't have very much money, so the school was always very underfunded. Here's as a brief anecdote. This is actually how poor my Catholic school was. This sounds like a joke, but it's true. The school was actually so poor that when I was it was a K through 8 school, kindergarten through 8th grade. When I was in 7th grade, they actually started admitting Lutherans. You no longer even had to be a Catholic. I mean, it's a Catholic, it says right on the front. St. Ignatius, Catholic school. But they just started, Catholic and, well, I guess we'll take Lutherans, too. And I remember my friend Chris, who was a Lutheran. And by the way, the Lutherans don't do any of the Catholic jibba-jabba about the for thine is the power and the glory and whatever.
Catholic light.
I remember being in church, and, like, the nuns came along and, like, Chris, get on your knees. Do the sign of the cross. And he's like, I'm Lutheran. I don't really do it anyway. You know, and he's, like, literally grabbing him by the hair, making him kneel in the pew on the kneeler and making him do the sign of the cross. And of course, he didn't even know how to do it because he's Lutheran and he's having to, like, look around. And it's like when you don't know the words to a song and you're having to, like, watch everybody else's mouth to see how they're doing it. But so we did all of these hideous fundraisers. I mean, and it's like, especially because you're paying tuition, and it seems so retarded that you had to pay tuition. And then on top of that, you had to do these embarrassing fundraisers. I mean, normally fundraisers are only like if it's for something like a band program or something where like you need something that maybe doesn't fall under the traditional school budget. But this was like just to keep the freaking school operating. I'd like you to go sell these Mars bars for $4 each. And it's always when they make the poor kids at the school sell something really small for a big amount of money to people in the neighborhood. Yeah, what are these? They're Hershey's Kisses. Sell them for $1 each to your neighbors. Cry if necessary. And so the thing we did every year, the one big fundraiser we did, was this stupid marathon where we would go to a nearby track, a quarter mile track, and the deal is you would get like the pledges for like, you would guilt trip your neighbors into saying like, yes, I will give you a quarter for each lap you do around the, you know, which is pointless for me because I would do one and then collapse. But that's what it is. So that's what we had to do for this. We had sort of the tasing for tots. And it's like the audience together, like we will give, you know, we'll get people in the audience to pledge, you know, X dollars for, you know, for like every tasing that the guy can take before weeping or before soiling himself. Didn't Sook say that guy soiled himself?
I think so.
Yeah. Scotty typing the screen. I'm not kidding. I love it. I'll do it. All right. So I guess we've got the taser. We can put him in a hood. All right.
That's messed up.
Well, I mean, oh, that's messed
that's
up.
That's over the line.
All right. Well, hey.
Snarling German shepherds on chains.
That should be the theme of our next listener party.
Snarling German shepherds
on chains. Like a Guantanamo. No, it should be like a freedom camp kind of a theme.
The Abu Ghraib Festival.
You be Lindy England. All right. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Tim can be Donald Rumsfeld.
Oh, I like
that. Why do I get stuck with Lindy England?
Because the only other choice being the dog, sister. You don't do that. All right. Scotty with the dog. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. So deeply sorry. Sorry. We'll be back after this with a rock star recap. Don't go anywhere. So you gon' need a warrant for that. Aren't you sharp attack? You some type of law or something, somebody in power, cause sometimes I ain't past the bar, but I know